At your feet, that you might teach us the language of eternity. Let there be a rejuvenation and a revival, a quickening that can only come by your spirit. We want to stand in the fullness of the stature, of the measure of Christ. We want the sonship dimensions of God to be made manifest one more time, to the intent that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea.
I want you, God, who gave my hope. I want you, God.
Give him glory, give him praise. 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 Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him praise. Shakumbat kababahayaba. Rasa kapata maskatabalaha. Salvation, we call upon you tonight. It is written that you will so want to watch the path that leads to life. We realize after many years of beating about the bush that we actually need to be shown that path. That path is not readily on display, and so we need to be guided therein. Guided thereby, we cry out tonight. We have seen that there's a need for a significant shift in our understanding of you in this day and time to keep up with the measure of darkness that has invaded our generation. We trust, oh God, that you will bypass the limitations of our mind. You will bypass the deafness of our ears. You bypass, oh God, you bypass the limitations in our understanding. We ask, oh God, that even as we take off tonight, as we gain ascendancy tonight, we ask, oh God, for an impartation that will upgrade us, cause us to stand in a ranking of advantage, so that the things that the enemy had cheated us out of many years ago, we can receive them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Take over! And let your name be glorified. Hallelujah. Turn with me quickly. I don't know how long I'll be talking. So for as long as I'm allowed to talk, let me talk. And then when the teacher himself comes, the reality, when the Lord himself shows up, there's no need to talk anymore. He's the description. He's what you are trying to describe. So he comes and gives people a revelation of himself. And at that point, there's no need to talk no more. Hallelujah. Yesterday, we were trying to consider looking at Jesus, looking at him in the context of him being the Son of God. Hallelujah. We saw that in that context, he is the brightness of the glory of God. He's a personality shadowed to speak, express, and manifest God. And just in case you get to see God manifested, it's because the Son of God is available. Hallelujah. God existed without a definition. He was called by his manifestations. Names were attributed to his works of power. If he comes and heals, they say he's Ralpha. If he comes and sanctifies, they say he's Mekadishkan. And God was known by his manifestation, but the person behind the manifestation was not disclosed. And it happened to be that God came on display. God was defined when Jesus, the Son of God, was made manifest. Hallelujah. Through his human living, he showed us the perspective of God in every context of human life and every context of human endeavor. He showed us the opinion of God as opposed to the opinion of man. He showed us the perspective of God as opposed to the perspective of man. He came to reveal to us the perspective of a hidden kingdom that finds its origin in the very depth of the heavens. And he came to manifest and to bring the constitution of that kingdom, so that everyone that is called to function in that kingdom can understand how to order himself within the confines of the principles of the same. Hallelujah. Son of God. God was put on display. God revealed a pattern of about himself. God manifested a syllabus such that if you want to grow in him, you have a syllabus, a pattern man to look upon. That's the Son of God that manifested all the dimensions of divinity, and in no wise was any attribute of divinity obscured in the days of his human living and the days of his walk upon the face of the earth. He is the syllabus of our faith. He has manifested our destiny. We are trying to become exactly everything that he has become. And if we don't have a pattern man, the devil can come and masquerade and claim that he is the answer, and people will begin to follow that path. But thank God Jesus showed up, and as the Son of God, he showed us the example of what God will do, what God will say, how God will act if he were man. Son of God. The Word was made flesh. The eternal Word of God was made flesh, so that expression came into another mood. Expression manifested in such a way that humans could understand, humans could perceive, humans could see, humans could relate with God on that plane of humility that he has decided to take when he left majesty, just so that he can give God a definition. Hallelujah. Now, it's also needful for us to understand, as we saw in the morning session, that we need the revelation of Jesus for us to see ourselves. Because the Bible says that when we see him, we'll be like him. Now, let's take that scripture quickly before I jump. You don't know who you are until you see Jesus. That's the password. The Bible says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even the possibility of you growing in grace is still tied to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Every revelation that comes to you has an impartation that accompanies it. When you break into those dimensions. There was once upon a time I was struggling in my prayer life, and I was trying to find out, how do men become mighty men of prayer? Hallelujah. It requires a revelation. And I was praying and asking God to help me in that department of my life. And what God did was that he showed me a scripture. Quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. So I saw that it's God that quickens. We do the calling. If we are not quickened, we can't call. So you quicken. So when it entered me that God does the quickening, I do the calling. So what I do when I want to pray and I'm weak, I just begin to call on the name of the Lord. Quicken me. Quicken me. Quicken me. And very soon I begin to notice a stirring in my spirit. 100%. Every time I say that, I get the result. Then as I advanced further, I now found out that Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You know, we know Jesus as the life, but we don't know him as the resurrection. And the resurrection means the quickening. The quickening one. The one that quickens that which is dead. And I saw that scripture was talking about Jesus. That Jesus as the resurrection is what I need if I'm going to have a prayer life. Because prayer is not natural. Prayer is supernatural. And you need to be empowered supernaturally to be able to pray. And I saw that quicken us, the quickener was Jesus. Oh, every time you have some issues with your spiritual life, you need a revelation of Christ that governs that area. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, you might think that you found a scripture, and the scripture that you found has actually revealed the answer to that which you seek. If you look further and check the context of that scripture and keep following that principle across the scriptures, you will find out that scripture was actually speaking about a person. Now, when I read, quicken us and we shall call upon thy name, I could not attach that to Jesus. Do you understand that? So I said, okay, that's the secret. Lord, quicken me. Quicken me. Hallelujah. It became more effective when I discovered that it was the resurrection. So I wasn't just saying quicken me in vague terms. I was making a demand on God based on a revelation of what? Christ. When your dependence on God is tied to a revelation of Christ, you have constant victory on that subject. Are you with me? So I don't struggle when it comes to prayer. Because if he is the resurrection, he can wake me from sleep. Can quicken me from sleep. If you come into covenant with God based on revelation, and you say, Lord, my problem is sleep. Help me with the sleep. If you can help me with sleep, I will pray. That's a good bargain. You get to see him as the resurrection. He will quicken you from sleep. You can be so tired and you sleep for 1 hour and suddenly sleep just goes. But it will be left for you to do your own part though. When you wake up from sleep or he wakes you from sleep, then you step out. Do you understand that? And for a whole or for your entire lifetime, you will find the ability to overcome sleep because of a spiritual exercise that you feel you have responsibility to do just because you are depending on the revelation of Jesus, which will never fail. The revelation of him as what? The resurrection. There are other times too, you begin to find out when the demand of God upon you becomes more intense. The demand of God upon you becomes more intense. And because that demand becomes more intense, so many people coming, they need ministry, they need to be accurate and all of that, coming for counseling and all, then you now see your limitation. The first 20 people you counseled, you could not really help them. You just comforted them as any other man could comfort them. And you go back to the resurrection and say, Lord, I need further quickening so that beyond my humanity, I will have capacity with you to be able to meet these people at the point of their needs more definitely, more precisely, and more accurately. And on the strength of that same revelation as of Christ, as what? The resurrection. You receive further quickening. Such that as people are coming, you don't even need them to talk. You have been quickened to a level of discernment so that you can perceive things a mile away. And even if the people come and lie to you, you know. Because you have been what? Quickened. That's a revelation. Affecting so many aspects of your life, because on the strength of that revelation, you see how much you need to be quickened. How much? And that runs on a revelation. I read my Bible one day and I found out that scripture says that the Spirit searcheth all things. He didn't stop there. He said, yea. That means among all things, there is something that is deeper, which is God. He searches all things, and in fact, he also has application in searching the very depths of God. That's good business for me. Oh, yeah. In the issues of life, you find out there are several times things will need to be searched out. When I found out that the Holy Ghost, he has searching power, he's a search machine, he operates better than Google. When God told me, he said, someone is about to die in this congregation. I said, Lord, someone about to die? Find the person. That's where I got that principle. Find that person that's about to die that is here. Find the person. And the people you thought were the ones about to die, it's not them. And then the searching spirit goes to work. When I said in Ojuda that somebody was about to die, that God wants to separate the person from death, people were looking at me. I said, don't worry. I know the Holy Ghost as what? The searcher. The same one that I sit with on the table every time, and he helps me search the Bible. He will search you. He will find the depths of God. I'm wanting. Sometimes when I'm stuck, I try to meditate to get insight, and it's not coming. And I'm walking on the road like that. Hallelujah. Lost all consciousness of where I am or what I'm wearing. Hallelujah. And suddenly, he had gone on search. The search was operating for 2 hours, checking the chambers of divinity, checking so that, and then suddenly his things begin to crystallize on you. I've seen his ministry along that line, so I can trust him that in a congregation like this, that you cannot be hidden from his face. And if he's saying somebody is going to die, I can trust him that he will go and find that person. It takes a revelation for you to do everything. Still on one revelation. He searcheth all things. Hallelujah. Sometimes a key can be lost in the house. When you say the Spirit searcheth, does it happen to you? Then when you have tried in futility, you now say, all right, I'm sorry. Why not lead me? And 1, 2, 3, you find it. See, what I'm saying is, why not build your life on that possibility in God? So that you don't need to struggle. And a time will come, you can stay here in Nigeria, and the Holy Ghost goes to search in United in Gambia, and your eyes are open. You see through the Holy Ghost as he's searching. That's what makes your prayer powerful. You know that he's traveling. You shoot a missile. You are seeing it. You see, if you have no revelation of Christ, you have, I don't understand you. He searched all things. Many times I'm in Lagos like that. I say, God, I want to see my son. He searcheth. If I stay there long enough, I will see him. Hallelujah. I was in Lagos one of those days. And so I woke up in the night to check my family. Hallelujah. And I was browsing. And I saw a witch in my house. I called my wife. I said, this lady is still there in that house. He said, you didn't say we should send her away. I said, send her now. Send her away. When I was doing my ward round, I was checking the ward, checking the place. Then I found somebody with nails as teeth. Oh my God. Malandomene kapera naskeba. Many of us have embraced serpents and scorpions and strange things that God did not send our way. But if we know him as the searcher, nothing will be hid from your face. And you see, we have taken too little advantage of the power of Almighty God. And there's a call right now. See, don't die without seeing the dimensions of God. Don't just waste on the earth. There are depths in God that we need to explore. The Bible says the Spirit, it does what? You come and you see that this death that this person died is not normal. Somebody is responsible. The Spirit does what? I don't know, but as a Christian, if you are really a Christian, there are times you fight, you know. There are times to fight. This one didn't die normally. The Spirit does what? Once you have confidence in that truth about the Christ, you can apply and draw from his potential. You see, the average believer just lives life. Meanwhile, God wants to be figured in your daily life. He created us with limitations so that we will seek him. Created us insufficient so that we can seek the all-sufficient one. The one that sustains all but is sustained by none. That's how he is. That's who he is. And all your insufficiencies are indicators of the fact that you need help. But many people go to their grave before they cry out. When they are dying on the bed, then they say, help. Meanwhile, God created them insufficient. And their language every day towards God should be what? Help, Lord. Help, Lord. If you have not yet seen beyond yourself, you are small. If you have not yet seen beyond your ability, you are weak. Don't boast in the market. Don't boast. Don't boast on the resources of your biceps, which is like they can put it on display. Hallelujah. But you see, in order for us to take advantage of the all-sufficient dimensions of God, the Spirit of God must have to witness to us a revelation of Jesus. Jesus happens to be the heir. Everything in God has been committed unto him. That's why he's everything that you need for life and godliness. And you may say you need strength, but he is strength himself. You may say you need, what do you need? Money. You need money. The Bible says that it's him that giveth power to get wealth. There's nothing that you can access in the kingdom without following the protocol of touching his office. It's the center, the circumference of the dealings of God. The hopes of God are bound on him. His office is eternal and universal. And you may not know that you are dealing with his office if you are trafficking with God. So it is time and it's right time for us to hallow him and exalt him so that his image is so strong upon our soul. If you must touch God, you must pass through his office. If God must reach through you, you must pass through him. If you must enter another dimension of God, you must have a revelation of him. Jesus, the Son of God. Now, because of the emphasis that came up in the charge, I can't continue with the scriptures I have here. So we have to jump and begin to consider Jesus the Christ. So I have to teach for 25 minutes to bring us to understand Jesus the Christ. Eternally, Jesus is the Son of God from everlasting to everlasting. If you want proof, go and read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. You will see what in chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, you see the full scope, the full meaning, the full sphere of Jesus as the Son of God. Hallelujah. It's our example. Everything that God the Father has been willed to Him. Hallelujah. If you are spending something from God's account, it is because He approved it. That's why the spending can take place. If you are spending the grace of God, maybe like right now that I'm preaching, I'm spending the grace of God for insight and for utterance. But you see, He approved it. That's why I can use it. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? You cannot do anything in this kingdom without drawing from His bounty. Just in case you lay your hand upon anything whatsoever, a resource that is available in the realm of the Spirit, it is because He approved it. That's why you have it. But it happens to be that this thing is so supernatural that you stand the chance to despise Him. And then just think that, oh my God, I roll in the morning time and I roll in the night time. When I lift up my voice, the cripples rise. When I decide to be silent, blind people begin to see. I don't know. My leg heals, my hand heals, all my body heals. I come to town. I'm alive. Hallelujah. And you don't know that it's because you are squandering from someone's account. Let me take you deeper. Brother Tony has compromised my message. Yes. I like following the life that is available. Alright? I like tracing it. Not my script. Someone can come and stir the waters. We must know how to interpret that stirring. Come with me. Let's go. Just two scriptures. Then we'll open it up. First of all, let's begin from the book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts 2. Amen. You know, there was a destiny that Angel Lucifer wanted to fulfill. Please, be attentive. 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 What we want to trouble this night? It will create an effect in heaven. So, be attentive, please. The devil wanted to fulfill a destiny that was not given to him. If you have read your Bible in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, he began to speak. Then he was not the devil. Then he was still an angel, Lucifer. And you'll find out that all the angels, the archangels, have the name of God attached to them as their preservation. Michael, L-E-L, God. Gabriel, he was the only one that did not have that security. And that was an indication of the fact that God knew the end from the beginning. He did not ensure him with his name. He was not insured. There was no insurance policy governing him. Hallelujah. Now he said, can we check it? Okay, now it's three scriptures now. Three scriptures. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, all these things were not expressed vocally. They were where? I can't hear you. Alright. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Please underline throne. Throne. Lucifer had a throne. He was a prince. He was in the number and colony of the angelic princes. And these angelic princes are part of God's government. And they had thrones. That means Lucifer had a seat in the court of heaven. The court of heaven is the highest judgmental court that exists in the universe. You need to be at least a prince to have a seat in the court of heaven. In the court of heaven, there are several saints that have been perfected that have thrones there. There are angels. Some high cherubs of glory have thrones there. And some men. If you check it critically, you will see that Abraham was one of such princes. A prince is someone that is in the human dimension now. A prince is someone, a human entity, that has gained some level of stature with God. So much so, he has ascended the mountain of privilege that is called the friend of God. On the strength of that, God is under obligation to inform him about what he does among the nations. God had to come inform Abraham that he was going to do something in Sodom and Gomorrah, because Abraham was the prince of that territory, was the earthly prince of that territory. We saw how Abraham threw his stature around to see how he could save Sodom and Gomorrah from the wrath of God. Through the vent and the shaft of intercession, this Abraham, that was a prince on earth, sought to negotiate with God about the destiny of the cities that God revealed that he wanted to destroy. And as far as he continued the negotiation, God was ready to consent with him because he was a prince. A prince can influence the destiny of a people. A prince is not just a servant of God. A prince is a man of God given to his generation. A prince has been approved. God has placed his rubber stamp and seal upon him. By him, many things will happen in his generation. A prince has a throne in the courts of God. Some angels have thrones there. And the Bible makes us to understand that Lucifer had what? Indicative of the fact that Lucifer was one of the few angels that were high cherubs of glory that were angelic beings under cities. Just like there were princes on ground, there were what? Angelic beings contending for their airspace in the second heavens. I hope I'm making sense. So that it is the influence of that angelic prince that is casted upon that city in that season that his reign lasts. Do you get it? The Bible speaks of a time. The Bible says, in that time shall Michael, your prince, stand up. Then the scriptures went forth to define Michael. That is the one that standeth for the children of thy people. That's in the spiritual, that a time will come where over the spiritual heavens of the nation of Israel, it will be Michael that will be the principality. Alright? But I saw you right now, it's not Michael. There's another prince manipulating that place right now. Because if you step into Jerusalem, step into Israel, walk on the streets of Tel Aviv, and you meet the average young man, young woman, he doesn't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will say, where was that God when Hitler came and wanted to lick them out of the earth? So he doesn't believe now, because their influence is operating in the spiritual atmosphere of that particular nation right now that has turned the heart of the people away from their God and from their foundation. Are you still here? Now, so. Just as we know that spiritual princes have the capacity to influence the spiritual climate and to give people a culture and an evolution that is in the direction of their influence. We also have earthly princes that have power with God and that can move his hand and that can make him take decisions, influence God's decisions about the people. And any time that in a territory there is no prince of sufficient stature, the works of darkness are prominent. And that's why we must hold on and stay on. Hold on and stay on. A time will come when our level of stature has reached. Let me stop. What I'm saying is, it will not always be like this. The Bible says this one angel called Lucifer said, I will what? Exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend above the heights of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. He was talking about equality with God. And that was his ambition. And we must understand his ambition. His ambition actually was that, because if you see where he said he wanted to ascend above. Are you here? You are here. Now he said, I will ascend above the heights of the congregation in the sides of the north. Did you see that one there? He's talking about Zion. He's talking about God's administrative headquarters. That this my throne that I want to exalt, I will cause it to ascend above the mountain of what? The congregation of the north. What he was saying was that he wanted to assume the office of the administrator of God's purposes. Because Zion, that place he was talking about in the north, was God's administrative headquarters where God's throne was. The reason why he did that was that he had some understanding of the fact that there was a throne that was vacant. And that throne that was vacant was the throne of the Christ. He knew that it was not a secret in heaven, that the office of the Christ was not occupied. Whereas Jesus is the Son of God from eternity to eternity, there was a point in time that Jesus became the Christ. Do you get that? Are you still with me? If you are here, say amen. Oh my God. That was the destiny he wanted to fulfill, but unfortunately it wasn't given to him. Hallelujah. There was a time like that, several things began to happen in our union in the office. And I got angry. I said I was going to contest. If I contest, I will win. But the point is this, it's not given to what? To me. So if I find myself there, okay, let me stop. Don't try to fulfill a destiny that's not yours. You see somebody doing something, and because he's doing something, you feel you can do better. And then you want to... We were in the barber salon, one young man came and said, the most lucrative job now is pastoral job. I said, all right, since you know so much, why not start a church close to your backyard? If you survive 2 weeks, the way I'm seeing this, your pot belly, if you meander with it, even if you are a fake pastor, all right, and you put a signboard, and you survive 2 weeks. Don't put a signboard until the Lord Jesus has told you. Hallelujah. He said, God, see the way this ministry is so large. If all the people bring tithe now, then he took calculator. It's time to make up some. He doesn't know that it's just 10% that is pulpit work. 90% is warfare. In the night, things that don't know you know where I stay. They don't know you. They are not. You are just free, moving everywhere. But before I travel, I must see where I'm going before I start from here.
He wanted to fulfill a destiny that was not given to him. That was why he failed. The office of the Christ was vacant. It was prophetic that a time will come when one will sit upon that throne. Prophecies like Psalms 110 verse 1. Can you look upon it? 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. I will explain this scripture. The Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. Can you see that Zion again? Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. I will explain this scripture. So it was prophetic that one was going to sit at the right hand of God. And the promise and the vow that came from the mouth of God is that as long as you are sitting there, it will be my responsibility to make all your enemies bow before you. And in keeping with that promise that the Father made, the rod of God's strength had to be sent from where? Are you here? Had to be sent from where? Okay. When the rod of God's strength was sent from Zion, the instruction that was given, the prophecy that was declared, the perspective of God that was uttered, was what? Rule in the very place that the enemies have camped. Come with me. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, I would like us to read very carefully. If you are still here, say amen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. I want to begin to read from verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, speaking about David, and knowing that God has sworn an oath unto him, that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Now, careful now. Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. 32, careful now. This Jesus, God has raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. 33, be careful now. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of what? The Holy Ghost. Stop there. Now, you remember that this scripture is the fulfillment of the scripture I read to us in the book of Psalms 110 verse 1. It says, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thine footstool. The same thing in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Jesus sat down. You know, the next verse says, God will send what? The rod of his strength out of Zion. And that scripture now tells us what or who the rod of his strength is. The rod of his strength is the Holy Ghost. Did you get it? That was sent from heaven. What Peter was saying on the day of Pentecost was that this Holy Spirit that has come down here and baptized us has come as a proof of the fact that right now in heaven, Jesus has been coronated Christ. You didn't get it. Come with me. You didn't get it. So what day was Christ coronated? Was coronated on the day of Pentecost. That was the day he sat in the office of the Christ. And that was what the psalmist was prophesying in Psalms 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down. I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to make the devil bow. I'll make him ashamed and afraid. So when Jesus finished the walk and ascended, and he sat down at the right hand of God, the Holy Ghost left heaven. That was the rod of God's strength. That was a compendium of God's power. The encapsulation of God's energy left heaven. And descended where? So it means, please follow me. Oh my God. Guy, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now, come back. Come back. Come back. Don't miss it. Are we there? Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise, you know the Father promise, the rod of his strength will come from where? From where? Zion. That's God's administrative headquarters. It's in this scripture that he now showed us that the rod of God's strength was actually the Holy Ghost that came from the administrative headquarters with one mandate. The mandate of the Holy Ghost is to do what? Make the enemies of Christ his footstool. Come. He said, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he has said for this which ye see and hear. Seeing and hearing talks about Pentecost, the speaking in tongues and all of that, and the manifestations were because the Holy Spirit, the rod of God's strength, had been sent from Zion. That's why you can see people speaking in tongues. That's why people can be born again. That's why people can be saved. That's why the Holy Ghost moves. That's why there are miracles. That's why there are signs. That's why there are wonders. It's because what? The rod of his strength has come. Okay. Come with me. Go to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and... So the day of his coronation was the day of Pentecost. Now, follow me. Because we are going deeper now. So I hope we have settled that one. You know that was the day he was coronated. He was exalted. He sat down at the right hand of God. So Jesus never formally became the Christ until he had resurrected and ascended. He was destined to be it. Even through prophecy, some people were able to locate it. That thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. But his being the Christ was not yet effected. But it was already captured by prophecy that was his destiny. Do you get it? Now, so the reason why Lucifer failed was because that throne was not given to him. You see, I will do it. Have you ever seen somebody, maybe in a very fragile pastoral system, where leadership is by voting, and he steps out of his ranks and begins to campaign like ACN man, campaigns like PDP man, and he steps by and he drops something here and says, you know, the Lord will be gracious if I get there. And he manipulates his way up there. If that throne is not given to him, he will suffer there. He will mess it up. It will be obvious that he doesn't have the grace to sit there. The throne will become a curse to him because he's not the one that God has chosen to sit there. Lucifer was trying to sit on a spiritual throne without spiritual stature, without ordination and destiny. The throne that is meant for you, you were destined for it before you were born. The spiritual throne to command the armies of God and to win victories for God from one territory to another, that scope and territory was measured out before you were born. You only step into it over time because of your faithfulness and stature. It is already your destiny. The throne will not be created. The throne is already there. And God knew when you were born. And he was trying to move you towards it. So you cannot occupy a throne that you are not destined to occupy. The guy wanted to play politics in heaven. Wanted to rig election and get somewhere. But he lost his place in glory. And he lost his illumination. He lost his presence. He even had a throne in the courts. That would have been sufficient. But he wanted the throne of the administrator. The one upon whom all the hopes of God, all the purposes of God were bound upon. That's what he wanted.
And when he gets there, if he really gets there, he will be equal to God. Because God will have to depend on him for his purpose to come to pass. God will have to depend on him for his agenda to find expression. Because that throne has so much stature that God cannot but. See that? Now, follow me. So, the Holy Spirit that came down the day of Pentecost was a testimony to what? A throne. Don't forget that. The anointing of the Holy Spirit that you carry today is coming from where? A throne. Now, let's go further. I'll show you strange things that are found in the Bible. But before I begin to show you these strange things, the operation of that throne in your daily life, and how that you need revelation of the office, just as you need revelation of the occupant. What did I say? You need revelation of the office, just as you need revelation of what? The occupant. All right, follow me. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the coronation exercise ceremony was illustrated in graphic pictures. Philippians 2. The context of Philippians 2 is the Christ of God. That's the context. Come with me. The coronation exercise is painted in graphic pictures, so that we can understand the operation of that throne. Then I will show you some things, and you will wonder if these things were in the Bible. Are you with me in Philippians 2? Alright. Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, if there be any consolation in what? Underline that. This scripture is not making reference to the person of Jesus. It's making reference to what? The office from whence he operates. Kai, oh my God. Are you in this hall today? Once we have the revelation of Jesus, it will be difficult for the devil to grind you. Try to fulfill a destiny which was not given to him. You might rig elections in the natural, you can't rig it in the spirit. And he saw that there was a throne that was of greater privilege than the one he had in the courts of God. He wanted to go for it. He wanted to attain unto Zion and put his throne there and operate from God's administrative headquarters. Now, let's go on. Philippians chapter 2. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship in the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'll show you why he's giving us that counsel. Let this mind be in you, which was also in... Stop. There's a difference between Jesus Christ. Difference between Christ. Difference between Christ Jesus. When you see Christ Jesus, the emphasis is the office that is occupied by what? Jesus. When you see Jesus Christ, the emphasis is the person that also is the Christ, but is the person that is the emphasis. If you see Christ Jesus, the office is the emphasis. If you see Christ, the office is the emphasis. Do you get it now? I say, are you here with me now? All right, come now. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also what? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant,
and was made in the likeness of man, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the price he paid in order for him to qualify to sit on that throne. 7 deaths that he had to die so that he could have the 7 horns and the 7 eyes. Hallelujah. So that the scope of his authority will know no bound in God's universe. The scope of his authority, which was signified by his name, will be effective in heaven, will be effective on earth, will be effective beneath the earth. That every tongue will have to confess that this Christ is what? The Lord. That's an insight into the coronation service. He said, and God had highly exalted him. It's as if the Father stood up that day and mentioned the names of all the galaxies, mentioned the names of all the pathways in the heavens, mentioned the names of all the ways and the highways that he had made in the rivers on earth. Before he so highly exalted. I don't know how that coronation service was, but it was so mighty that a wind came from heaven on the day of Pentecost. I don't know what happened that day, because on earth, people were on earth. Something took place in heaven, and then there was what? A mighty rushing wind. So can you imagine the coronation? Some of us, as we climb the ladder, it will take the same kind of wind for your next level of ranking to be placed upon your shoulder. So that when you stand and cry in the natural, it will be thunder that we give off in the realm of the spirit. Thunder. I don't know how that service was. He said God had highly what? And then given him a name. In the spirit realm, names are not for identification. Because you don't need somebody's name to identify him. When Peter, James, and John came to the Mount of Transfiguration, they were not introduced to Elijah. They were not introduced to Moses. Then they have never seen them before, but they were. So don't think names are for identification. Don't think in heaven you will say, hey, Ogbay, Ogbay, Ogbay. No. Where Ogbay? Where Ogbay? No. Hallelujah. As you see the person, you know him. Just like you know Christ. When Jesus appears to you, you know him. You know inside. There's no need for introduction. If a devil comes and he transforms himself to an angel of light and he shows up glowing, glistering, radiating with brilliance and fire, you know him. The spirit, nothing is hidden. Everything is bare. And so your spirit, through discernment, will be able to understand who you are meeting. But the Bible says God gave him a name. The name there is not for identification. The name there is his status and his authority. And when we talk authority, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. This mind was also found in Christ. It's talking about Christ. That Christ was given a name. The name there was talking about the influence of his throne. The level of authority he has gained, attained unto, on the account of his works of death and sacrifice. He was ready to die to everything so that he could live in everything in God. He was ready to let everything go so that he can embrace God fully. He was ready. That's a son. A son has nothing to hold on to. A son can lay everything down right now, because the devil says, I'm going to give you something. Say, sorry, I have nothing. He has laid everything down. He said, all right, I'm going to take something away from you. I don't get anything. What do you want? Say, I will give you. He said, no, I have all things. That's the basis of equality with God. When you have no agenda, everything that God has is yours. When you have no agenda, everything that you have, you can lay down for the excellency of the heart of God, the purpose of God. That's his son. He has no agenda. He's not tied to the jeep he's riding. If by any means God says that it is his will for him to trek again for 2 months, and that he should let the jeep go, let it be sold and the money be converted to mission work. He will gladly sell it and release the money. He will trek on the street for 2 months as a testimony that his security is not in the jeep. His security is in Christ. That's the spirit of a son. The Bible says God gave him a name. Now, so do you see where the name of Jesus is coming from? It's coming from the crucible of death and sacrifice. Only men of death and sacrifice in the kingdom of God can carry the power and the authority in that name. You remember what happened the last time you said the name of Jesus? Instead of the person reviving, the person died. Because there was no sacrifice and no prize. You have not yet imbibed the spirit and the peppermint of that name. The name came out of the peppermint. It came out of dealings. It came out of sacrifice. It came out of somebody emptying himself because of the glory of God and the mind of God that he wanted to achieve. He did not have anything, but yet he had all things. That's sonship at work. One guy came into the bank one day and he wore Agbada white colored lace. And he stood large, blocked the way. He felt he was too big to stand on the line. He shunted, went forward, and he adjusted his glasses close to the counter. He already intimidated the people walking behind the counter, wanted to serve him. One man with cap was there. You know this taxi driver cap? And he didn't wear it straight. He wore it was bevel. Ma eke koma salaba. And the man felt that the man with Agbada had done something wrong. And he was supposed to stand on the queue. And the Agbada man said, "Do you know me?" Every time you hear a man say, "Do you know me?" He's a small man in a big body. Such a man cannot have a throne. He's so full of himself. No throne for him in the spirit. His days are numbered and measured in time and space. And the power he has will be diminished when his last breath goes. But the man that has served the kingdom of God, that has sacrificed for the manifestation of the will of God, even when that man dies, in the natural, what he has done in the spirit lives on. If he did not finish his work, God will have to allocate something else, somebody else, to fulfill his dream and the promises that God made to him. That is immortality. The ability for your work to continue when physically you have died. That it takes a power that is stronger than death to make that happen. Oh my Father. Jesus was the one that said, let me leave you. Let me speak. You will not understand that. The Bible speaking concerning Jesus in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. After that he had died, the Bible says, therefore, because of what he did, alright? He will divide a portion to the great, and he will give the spoil to the strong. He said, because of what he did, God will cause the works of his hand to prosper and his days to be prolonged. What are we talking about here? Jesus was already dead. Jesus had left men. But the Bible says his days were what? Prolonged. That means many nations, many people will be called to continue his calling on earth. They will do that which he came to do and continue it to the end. His days, that's immortality. That's a power that only eternity can give. For something to continue beyond time, beyond your existence. Is the spirit of our ancestors. Is the spirit that called Abraham. The spirit that called Isaac. Is the spirit that called Jacob. It's an immortal spirit. I don't know. One day we will preach here and suspend. One day, I tell you. We'll just suspend. Because there are no walls. There needs to be a demonstration to show it. He shall prolong his days, and the work of God shall prosper in his hand. That's the way of a prince. If a prince die today, witches don't be glad. So the anointing will come upon another man. Hey, if a prince dies today, don't shout, don't cry. it shall come to pass in the fullness of times. Hey, that spirit will come into the earth again. It will make a slave a man. It will empty the man of himself. Empty him of his agenda. And he will carry that same passion and that walk that was truncated will still come to pass. God has given him a name. Now, let me show you four things quickly before we begin to pray. The fire is too much in this. Right now, we need Jesus to come speak for himself. Words are no longer capable. Jesus will have to leap down from heaven. He will have to touch somebody in his heart and cause a river to flow in his spirit. He will have to make somebody feel something like ice block and then tell him that this is a proof of the fact that a throne is ministering. The dimensions of the anointing we get to experience is a proof of the fact that there is what? A throne. Do you realize that it's because of the throne of Christ that you can be born again today? So when you believe in Jesus, the office of the Christ, you have placed a demand on it. You are not getting it. Okay, salvation. Salvation, if you believe in your heart that Jesus what? And confess with your mouth that God raised him, thou shalt be. Your being saved is that a foundation was laid in your spirit man, and that foundation is a foundation of the measure of the Spirit of God. It means your believing place a demand on the throne, and then the throne became established where? Inside. There's a command tower of that throne inside of you on the account of your faith in believing in Jesus. That's why we cannot separate him from the throne. You believe in him, the throne is touched. You have a revelation of the throne, you have seen his function. Do you understand it now? That's why we say Jesus Christ. You can't take it, you can't separate it. We say Christ Jesus. You can't separate it. If you see a revelation of him, it was sponsored from the throne. If you see a revelation of Christ, then you have seen a dimension of Jesus. But nobody could be saved until the throne was occupied. Then the Spirit of God descended from heaven in a rushing mighty wind. Can I show you four things? In Philippians chapter 2, he's teaching us about the office of the Christ. He say, all right, let's see it before we begin to pray. We have a few minutes. Just have 10 more minutes to finish. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, if there be any consolation in Christ. Let me stop that. Any what? Consolation in Christ. Any consolation in Christ. I don't know if you have ever experienced a very major tragedy in your life. I'm talking about a tragedy that shook you to your foundation. Has it ever happened to you before? In recent times, something happened to you like that. Alright? The Bible says, have you by any means experienced any consolation in Christ? While you were in that situation of great despair, and suddenly you could not despair again. Because consolation was administered to you. He's asking, have you experienced that? Because people that are not in God, things like that can give them high blood pressure and make them paralyzed and die. I've seen a woman before, she had three girls and one boy. And the guy now went to Foot Mina and became a member of the Black Escort. And he happened to be very rich, so he was one of the sponsors. He doesn't go out to do the dirty jobs, but the bad boys were at his beck and call. Was a small guy, but he was landlord. He walks with a limp. Hallelujah. And the big boys are by his side. That young man happened to be my relative. When the other opposing court saw that they could not match his money for money, they could not match his naira for naira, they could not match his dollar for dollar, they took the fight into the realm of the spirit. You know, the realm of the spirit is not fair. It's not a fair place. It's not a fair place. It's not necessarily just so. Because people die that they're not supposed to die. It's a place of advantage. That's the only thing I can say. The realm of the spirit is a place of advantage. Tell your neighbor, in the flesh, you attain to your least potential. But in the spirit, you attain to your greatest potential. Tell your neighbor, let's take the battle into the spirit. We are too weak on ground. The opposing court group knew there were no match. And so they took the battle into the realm. And they struck a thunderbolt from the dimensions of darkness. Guess who they struck? The ringleader. The fine boy that was sponsoring the court was hit. He cried only twice. Headache! Headache! And died. When he died, his mom became hypertensive. Why? There was no consolation. That thing you experienced just now, when tragedy struck in your home, and you were able to revive in 2 weeks' time, I saw your text message, the nature of it was grievous. So there was no word on a human tongue to bring comfort to you. But somehow, the office of the Christ orchestrated some impartations of consolation. It's like the operation of a shock absorber in the car. Many of you don't know the things you go through can kill. But you go through it and come out and you have shock absorber. Because there's consolation in Christ. The office of the Christ administers a consolation. And you don't get to know that what you passed through was deadly. Have you ever asked yourself, why do I always come out of stuff? Arrows keep coming, I come out of stuff. I failed, but somehow I staggered my way through. And the other guy failed and became mine. Consolation. The office organized soft landing for you. And it was so supernatural that you didn't know that it was sponsored from where? The woman had hypertension. Her liver began to fail. Her kidney failed. Then her life failed. Why? No shock absorber. Meanwhile, you go through the belly of death and come back. And in 2 weeks' time, you shake yourself and you say, all right, we'll go on. The devil thought that maybe after that, you stop coming to church and come. He whispered it to you many times in the night. Said, will you see go? You didn't speak for 2 days. And on the third day, you shake yourself again and say, oh. And he's wondering, who is what a madman? He doesn't understand that there's a throne. And the throne began to minister consolation. The first day you dreamt, and you saw someone fanning you with a fan of a chief. Telling you, weep not, weep not, weep not. And you woke up and the burden was taken. You felt light. If you had cried that day, it would have been a lie. Because there was no sorrow anymore inside. The Bible says, have you by any means experienced consolation? That consolation you experienced made you indebted to a throne. It means you squandered some resources that has its roots and bearing. Where? He asks again, have you by any means experienced the comfort of love? I don't know if you have been there before. Your family members boot you out and say, go and die. But if you survive, pray for us. Have you ever been alone before? Have you ever walked in the wilderness in the dark? Have you ever carried a bag and you cried? Not because the bag was heavy, but there was something heavier than the bag. Have you ever been on the streets and you were laughing? Not because there was something funny, but you were tired of crying. That's why you wore a smile. Malo mayata makebaskoba. He said, have you ever experienced any comfort of love? As you were going with a dry bag, trying to articulate where you will spend the first night, suddenly, a window that you never knew was there open. And God began to administer to you the comfort that comes by a beloved one. And then suddenly your emotions that were broken asunder were brought into alignment again by the tender message of your God. And sometime, one of your brothers was tuning in the television and saw you preaching like a bunkie. And began to wonder, I thought we sold him into Egypt. I thought we killed him. From whence cometh this great oratory, this power of speech? The Bible says, have you by any means experienced the comfort of a loved one? He moves with us every day on the streets. His office administers the need of our living and of our godliness. just before the landlord will come and throw you out. Something happened. His spirit moved in somebody. And that person responded and something happened and the death was... It's not the man that did it. It was orchestrated from where? A throne. He said, just in case you have experienced that, you are indebted. You are a debtor. You are a slave to a throne. Why? Because when the Lord said, when God said, the Lord will send the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of your enemies. He didn't say something. Something was silent. Do you realize that when the Holy Spirit came down from heaven? Yes, he came like a wind, but he entered into man. Why? Because there must be partnership between man and his spirit for his worship, memory, and power to be exhibited upon the face of the earth. All he did to you by bringing the comfort of love. All he did to you by bringing consolation in the spirit was so that you could trust him enough for you to live for him. He's trying to convince you and to say, even this your life now, if we quantify it, it's not too... It doesn't strike any chord anywhere. But will you be willing to let it go? Why? Because the first son had to let himself go of his title, his life, his ego, his everything, so that he could fulfill a kingdom dream. That's how that order started. And if you are going to walk with this king, you have to let go everything you know about yourself and embrace his mission, embrace his kingdom. You see, what the Spirit of God needs is partnership from men. But he does not come to beckon men to partner with him. He comes into you, the office begins to stir up some stuff, and you begin to reap dividends coming from that throne. Comfort of love. Fellowship in the Spirit. Have you ever been dry? Have you ever been dry in the Spirit? When they say a prayer meeting and you try to speak in tongues, only you knew your tongues were dry. Akaya, yakaya, ya. No power. No strength. And then suddenly, the administrator saw there was need for some supply of quickening. And before you knew it, there was something like pepper in the tongues. And the tongues began to become voracious. He said, have you ever experienced fellowship in the Spirit? Has your spirit been galvanized with strength? Have you ever stayed in your bedroom and suddenly you knew you were not alone and there was a conversation going on, and when you resurrected from your bed, it was 4:30 in the evening. Meanwhile, you started the journey by 9 a.m. Hey, that's fellowship in the Spirit. Have you ever experienced that? He said, just in case you have, you are indebted. You are a slave to the throne that supplied that strength. If the throne had left you there, you would have been like a dying man. But somehow strength came. Somehow power came. Somehow grace came. Somehow utterance came. Have you ever preached before and you preached like God? Your utterances were strong. It was by the spirit of prophecy. He said, have you ever experienced? Say, if you have, let this mind be in you. If you have, you have to copy Jesus. If you have, you have to empty yourself of yourself and then carry on the kingly calling that the throne bestows upon you, partnering with the Holy Spirit and bringing the enemies of Christ at his footstool. That's our assignment. And that assignment we receive graciously because we are indebted to the throne. Rise up, let's cry. Let's cry. Where you are standing tonight, the throne will come to you. Where is Fred? Fred, help me with the keyboard now. Let's go up. Have you ever experienced that before? Fellowship in the Spirit. Have you ever experienced it? Comfort of love. A throne brought you rest. And it's very easy to despise that throne. It's very easy not to see that that throne is the reason for your present state of survival. The throne ministered is all sufficiency to your insufficiency.
And suddenly you that cried out, now I'm weak, you stand up and say, I am strong. You that for once said, I am poor, suddenly begin to say, I'm provided for. You that was in want, now rejoices because all your needs are met. And suddenly you can say, like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Suddenly, like Paul said, you are filled in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. A turn speaks for you. Jesus the Christ. Do not forget the historic confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is in that dual reality, that statement, that everything rests, that Christ, the Son of the living God, you are going to mount up with wings this night. You will mount up tonight. Holy Spirit, we wait on. Holy Spirit, we wait on. Sing it on this spirit way. We wait on. Papaya. shall come to pass in that day. That the mountain of the house of God shall be exalted as chief above the mountain. It shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow into it. We wear the new papaya. 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 is here. Life will never remain the same again. Never the same again. Jesus' name. Right now, the Lord reveals to me. He says to me that there is a shortage of evangelists. That's what he's saying. That there's a shortage of evangelists. Now, because of this shortage of evangelists, some people will be anointed today. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. There's a shortage of evangelists, and there is going to be an anointing of evangelists this morning. There's going to be an anointing. It will come from heaven. God will anoint you by himself. The throne will move. A shortage of evangelists, and the evangelical anointing is going to descend from heaven in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to heaven, close your eyes, don't be distracted. Right now, don't consider your neighbor standing by your side. The anointing of the evangelist is going to come out of heaven. I'm talking about a fiery evangelist, one that knows no fear. The Lord tells me that our first fathers in this land that rattled the foundation of this land were evangelists. So the days of the evangelists has come again. that the evangelists are going to be released massively. Citywide crusades will come back. Village crusades will be revived. From corner to corner, place to place, the evangelists will be released massively. The same thing will happen to some people in this hall today. The strength of 10 men will be given. The power to work miracles, signs, and wonders. Even now the Lord is hearing and receiving the prayers of many people in this hall. I see many chambers in the heavens being opened. Many chambers in the heavens are being opened. Many chambers are being opened now. Strange things are happening. Many chambers of heaven have been opened. Sakaba. Jesus' name. There are many chambers open now. Father, a fiery evangelist with the ability to heal, the Spirit of God will touch you anywhere you are, male or female. There's a special evangelist that is a female in this auditorium. The hand of God will come upon you. Some of you, the Lord will come with a gift of healing, signs and wonders, miracles. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Let your hand begin to descend mightily. Holy Ghost. Check me, just check me. Listen to me. Ostas, help me carry this one. Suprema lande bosque da alemo. Ailema. Capella nos cabo. Volume. Una bella namaste. La gama namana. Sikabala. Sikabale. Sikabalo. La bella jaskaya nana. Oh la la la. Capella ne baba. Aya da da da. Aya da da da. Capella da de la ba 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 ba. Olia me mama. Mama mama mama. Olia me mama. Holy Amish Gamera. Holy to me.
Listen to me. I'm seeing three white doves escape from heaven. They are in this hall flying. They are flying now. Please lift up your hands. There are three prophets that God will anoint. Three. Okay, the anointing is here. Just lift your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, there are three prophets in this place that you want to anoint. Lord, from my left to my right, let men receive a higher rank in their calling. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. He's coming stronger. Holy Ghost. Ushers, help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Your blind eyes will see. It's coming stronger, it's coming stronger, it's coming stronger, it's coming stronger. It's a prophetic anointing. Lift up that brother up. You ask for it, you say you want it. Julian, where's Julian? Julian, come. Julian, come. See visions. Understand the movements of heaven. You will not remain small forever. For it is written that a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. The Lord will arise suddenly. All his enemies shall be scattered. I saw you in the spirit, that's why I called you. Saile, 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 Mama, Saile, Baba Loma. Siana
Oh.
Rejoice in the Lord tonight. I see one of us here, not me. Come. Stand up. Connect. Let's connect. I see one of us in East Africa. East. I don't know the best, but he's a minister among us. Let's just connect now. Now. Come. Just connect, everybody. Yeah. You can come to the second row so that we can see eye to eye. Just want to know the person. Take you beyond the shores of this nation. Now take what I'm saying seriously. I see you in East Africa. Strongly in East Africa. How you will go, I don't know, but you are there. I see you. Something strong. Something very strong. I'm seeing your rank change. Your rank. He said a place you could not enter before is because you do not have the rank to enter. You enter now. Please close your eyes for the next 5 minutes. Just close your eyes. We can't understand where he's going now. Just close your eyes. Yes, 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 yes. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, from out of them shall come forth the voice of thanksgiving and the noise of them that make merry. I will multiply them, and they shall not be small. I will glorify them, and they shall not be few. Though your beginning be small, your letter end shall greatly increase. I will go ahead of you, and I will make the crooked path straight. I will cut in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will go ahead of you, breaking pieces the gates of brass, cutting sunder the bars of iron. So let it be written, O God. So let it be done. Remember, a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a strong nation. He said he will multiply us, will not be small. He said he will glorify us, will not be few. He said he will go ahead of us, make the crooked path straight. He'll break in pieces the gate of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. That place that you tried, that you were rejected, try again. Try again. For the gates are broken. Give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory right now. Give him glory right now. Give him glory right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now.